Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie Fee and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, March 10th, 2022. And today we are reading from the Big Book. We are continuing in the chapter forward to the second edition on page XIX. We're going to unpack the first paragraph today. And it begins with, as we discovered the principles by which the individual alcoholic could live, and then it ends with, and in no circumstances should we give endorsements, make alliances, or enter public controversies. It's the beginning of the traditions for us today we're going to be reading. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Rhonda R., the 12 traditions, the 12 traditions, Linda B. Reading the text today will be Dion R., and closing us out this morning will be Shelley E., the recorded portion anyway, and then Fran V. will be reading newcomers, and Lois P. will give announcements at the top of the hour. The share ID number for yesterday, that would be Wednesday, March 9th, 2022, 10 a.m. meeting, would be 18658, 18,658. And then this morning at 7 a.m., the 7 to 9 a.m. meeting, Big Book Study meeting, that share ID number is 18662, 18,662, Thursday, March 10th for the 7 to 9 a.m. meeting. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Rhonda R. to please read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Melanie, and everyone on the line. This is Rhonda R., grateful recovered compulsive eater in Georgia. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for your service today, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Rhonda R. from Georgia. I will now ask Linda B. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. A quick star one, Linda, please.
Oh, can you hear me now?
I sure can. Good morning.
Sorry about that. Good morning, Melanie, and good morning to everyone on the line. My name is Linda B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Ontario, Canada. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Linda B. from Canada. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting and a quiet recording, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted, and that would please be the star 1 key function only for muting purposes. Today we resume our study in the Big Book. We're in the section forward to the second edition. Continuing there on page XIX, we're going to unpack today paragraph 1, and it begins with, as we discover the principles by which the individual alcoholic could live, and then ends with endorsements, make alliances, or enter public controversy. And I would like to have Dion R. read that paragraph for us today and unpack it with her experience before we open it up for the greater audience to be able to share on that same paragraph. Good morning, Dion.
Hey, good morning. My name is Deanne R. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Very grateful to be on the line today. As we discover the principles by which the individual alcoholic lives, so we have to evolve principles by which the AA group and the AA as a whole could survive and function effectively. It was thought that no alcoholic man or woman could be excluded from our society, that our leaders might serve, but not govern, that each group was to be autonomous, and that there was to be no professional class of therapy, there was to be no fees for Jews our expenses were to be met by our own voluntary contributions. It was to be the least possible organization, even in our service center. Our public relations were to be based upon attraction rather than promotion. It was decided that all are to be anonymous at the level of press, radio, TV, and Facebook. And in no circumstances did we give endorsement, make a life, or enter public consciousness. That is the tradition. Sounds like what someone just read.
Dion, I just wanted to stick my nose in here for a second. It's a little difficult hearing the volume from your phone. I don't know if there's any way to be able to adjust that. The reading was just a little bit difficult to hear.
Is this better?
It seems to be the same. Are you on a headset or something that you could remove for now?
Yeah. Let me do that.
Got everything plugged up here, the phone, everything. Okay, can you hear me better now?
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. I'm inclined to ask you to read the paragraph again, I think, but in the interest of time, you better move on. Thank you for the adjustment. Appreciate it.
I didn't know you couldn't hear me. I'm so sorry. But yes, it is the 12 traditions that I just read, and to me is what the AA fellow groups, fellows came up with years ago, principles, because, of course, as the paragraph before, they had that growth spurt, of everything that happened, of adolescent growth and changes and schisms and isms that, our fellowship needed. It needed some organization. So I imagine it was hard for them. And I even think about Overeaters Anonymous, how the growth spurts we've had. I've witnessed in the last over 30 years of just watching the changes, eat it this way, do it that way. We're going to have a public thing. It was always, one time in one community, we were trying to get a group started in my local city, and we said, somebody wants to donate a company. And we was like, oh, that sounds so good. I was like, one person said, yep, but look at the traditions. We was like, we forget. We didn't know, And of course, one person doing a position all the time and things like that in groups, just not schism. Humanism popped up. And I think that's good. A rotation of services are good for any group I find to be healthy. Because I don't know, I guess it just keeps our humanism out or any thievery or whatever. Like I said, when my human part gets in there. And also keeping out of radio and films and televisions, I can relate to that, as many members can remember people that would advertise where they were going to OA or whatever, and they was and then when they fell off or lost weight or lost their abstinence, people would look like, oh, that program doesn't work. So, but I do remember years ago seeing an advertisement that got me attracted to Overeaters Anonymous. It was a chain around a refrigerator, and I still love that commercial. And it was like, you ever think of having like this, a chain around your refrigerator, and you still some kind of way get in and eat? That was me. That was a powerlessness I felt like, and that got my attention. And then the rest is history. So, of course, you get here in all kind of controversies, outside, inside. So keeping the lines clear and keeping us in a direct line as much as possible to the traditions, that's what I find that keeps the program of recovery so healthy, where anybody can come in and get the message, whether they stay or not. At least they know this is what we live by. These are the principles. This will help us grow. And with that, I'll pass. I apologize. You couldn't hear me read at first. Got too many phones going on, headphone, earphone, whatever, hearing aids, all that. But anywho, I'm still here and still grateful, and I love you all. I can't wait to hear what you have to say. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Dion R. Dion R. from Ohio. The lines are now going to be open for additional comments on paragraph 1, page XIX, in the forward to the second edition in your big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And although we do value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might be able to share their experience as well. If you would give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and perhaps your state, I'll take a lineup.
Lorraine E.
Lorraine
Donna
E.
B.
Donna B. Star 1 is how you unmute to be heard.
WP from Indiana.
I talked over top of you. Would you say that one more time?
Sure. WP from Indiana.
WP from Indiana. Gotcha. Okay. In the interest of time, let's go ahead and jump right into sharing this morning. Lorraine E., you're first, and then Donna, and then Debbie. Star 1.
Hi. Hi, thank you for your service. My name's Lorraine. I'm in Washington State. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and so happy to be on this line this morning. It's so wonderful to wake up and have all of you here starting your day in recovery. It really keeps me grounded to the program, grounded to the steps, to my sponsor, to my higher power. So I just have a lot of gratitude in my heart, no matter what the reading is. I've heard someone say once that the steps are so that we don't commit suicide, and the traditions are so we don't commit homicide. And I think that's really funny. But yeah, when I think of this, when I hear the traditions, I moderate meetings too. And I think of the structure that we have and the formula, and how chaotic it would be if we didn't have that foundation, if I didn't have that formula. There's no way, I'm a very sick person. There's no way I would be able to keep things relatively calm, sane, and just keep the ship sailing if it was all left up to me, interpreting it and how we're going to do it, what it's going to look like, and, giving my input and changing it. The structure, I need structure. I'm an addict, and I want to control things, and I want to manipulate them, and I want to change them. I want to run the show and play God. That's sort of my default setting. So I just have a lot of gratitude in my heart for having this this formula that keeps me sane in these meetings, that allows so many of these to keep popping up, because we have this anchor. We're anchored. We don't have to interpret it or figure it out. We just have this anchor, follow the formula. And then we get to keep sharing this message and our recovery. So with that, I'll pass. My name's Lorraine E., and I'm in Washington State. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, Lorraine E. Next up is Donna B. from Colorado. And then, Debbie, you'll come in after Donna in 3 minutes.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. My name is spelled D-A-N-A, although it's pronounced Donna. The timing of this paragraph is interesting. I was at my home Zoom OA meeting last night, and after the conclusion of the meeting, there's always at least a few of us who stay in the room to fellowship and to talk, and we were reminiscing on a couple of different incidences where somebody in the room maybe mentioned the Bible, or somebody had mentioned outside literature. And we were sort of talking about whose responsibility is it to be the keeper of the traditions. And it is my opinion, so please take it with a grain of salt. This is Donna speaking, not the big book. But I do think that it's the responsibility of every single one of us to make sure that the traditions are adhered to. So I get to make a decision, a choice, whether I, as an individual, adhere to these traditions. And I do so to the best of my ability for the health and well-being of my meeting. I need the meeting. I need fellows. I need to connect with people in a safe, healthy space. And knowing that I need that, I really want to secure that same safety, health, and well-being for newcomers, as well as for people who've been coming to the rooms for a long time. I do think there's a nice way to say a tradition has been violated, and there's a mean way to say a tradition has been violated. But I do think that for me personally, it may feel like a potential confrontation. It may feel awkward. It may feel uncomfortable. It may feel scary. But I have a responsibility to my group and to the fellowship as a whole to kindly acknowledge a violation of the traditions, because ultimately it's the right thing to do. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. from Colorado. Just want to let folks know that we're going to open it up for additional comments this morning as soon as Debbie P. gives her 3 minutes share, so get ready. So in 3 minutes, we're going to be unpacking paragraph one on page XIX for y'all if you want to get ready. Hi, Debbie. It's your turn.
Good morning, everyone. This is Debbie P. From Indiana, compulsive overeater. And I have one or two favorite traditions, but first I'll say that I appreciate that the traditions are there for guidelines for the meetings. But I've been able to carry some of those over into my personal life, and my favorite one is there are no dues. We should be self-supporting through our own contributions. And I try to live by being self-supporting in all that I do personally and in the family. And then that way I am, you know, giving of myself. I'm not just taking. That's a little bit of an ego deflation for me to be reminded of that. And then also one thing that I struggle with about the traditions is that it says all members ought to be anonymous at the level of press, radio, TV, and films. And for many of us, we also, let me rephrase that, I have taken that to extreme in that I remain completely anonymous in meetings and that nobody really knows who I am or how to get a hold of me unless I have thrown my phone number out there. So I think that, you know, reading that one, I think I can take that and loosen up my boundaries there a little bit about my anonymity. And then finally, I want to throw out if anybody has any suggestions on how to reach out to somebody that I don't know that may even need OA who is in an institution right now. So I just made a little suggestion with that. So I will pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Debbie P. from Indiana. The lines are now open today, again, for commenting your experience on paragraph one, page XIX. If you'd like to comment on that and you haven't shared in the last 3 days, I'd love to take your first name, the first initial of your last name, and perhaps your state as well. Press star
Laura
one,
W.
please, to unmute. I'll take a lineup. Hi, Laura W.
Hi. Jody E.
Hi, Jody. Well, let's start with those two.
Sherry KB.
Start out with a bang here. Oh, hey, Sherry KB. I'll grab you right up here. Glad you're here. Okay, so we're going to go with Laura W., then Jody E., and then Sherry KB. You'll come in third. Hey, Laura. Star one.
Good morning. Thanks so much, Melanie. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic. And I live in South Jersey. Yeah, you know, I came into the rooms 25 years ago, and every time it was a tradition meeting, I would groan. I'd be like, oh, no, a tradition. I want to hear the stories. I want to hear the good stuff, you know. And, boy, am I glad that I did not walk out of those rooms every time a tradition meeting was happening, because this is what makes us work, you know. Like, the last paragraph, when it talks about we have to hang together or die separately and we have to unify our fellowship, that's why the traditions were formed. They were formed so that we don't die separately And, you know, it's so interesting because I'll speak for myself. As an addict, I'm very ego-driven. And ego would destroy this group in a heartbeat if we did not have these traditions. And, you know, the public saw the results of AA, and the first 100 realized that they, you know, arguments and self-finding, it's not going to work here. You know, they're not going to have continued recovery if the ego got involved. And that's why the traditions were formed. And I agree with what was shared. You know, it's my job to lovingly say, I think a tradition is being broken here. And I know for me, traditions aren't usually broken because someone's being malicious or wanting to just be rude. For me, like, every time I've broken a tradition, it's because I didn't know better. And when we know better, we do better. So the more we study these traditions, the more we realize what has to be done in order for our fellowship to stay strong and not pass off the scene, you know, and not to give endorsements or make alliances, because, you know, it would be tough to be on TV promoting OA and then, you know, God forbid somebody relapses or slips, and then people, you know, what kind of example is that setting? People are going to say, oh, this program doesn't work. And, you know, and that's not the truth. It does work. It works when we work it. I'm grateful that this is the only group that I've ever gone to where there are no dues or fees or leaders or people who are in charge, you know. So this is really important. This is the backbone of how this whole process works, because without the traditions, you know, we would be definitely flying blind. I'm grateful that we have them, and I'm grateful to be here today. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks a lot, Laura W. from New Jersey. Jody E., you're up next for 3 minutes, and then Sherry KB.
Thank you so much, Melanie, and good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic in California. Principles by which we could live. I'm so grateful to have found them, both as an individual, compulsive overeater, and as an OA member, and as a part of this fellowship. Principles by which I could live were exactly what I was missing when I got here to OA so many years ago. And I knew that. And I knew when I first read the 12 steps that they were principles that I needed desperately. And I welcomed them. I didn't get the traditions right away, as many of us have said. But eventually I came to appreciate them too as principles by which not only my group could function and OA could function, but as I could function. I've often thought, wouldn't it be great if our government were to start recognizing and using the traditions? They're all just so wise. And I practiced these principles to the best of my ability in all my affairs. I try not to exclude anyone from any part of my society. I try not to be a governor, but a server. I do my 12-step work freely. I do not get paid for it, and I do it willingly and happily and gratefully. We don't charge people to come to our meetings. So, and we don't accept donations so that we can remain free from outside influences. This one about the least possible organization. I've always kind of wondered at that one. How did they come to that? You know, we should not be organized. And yet, the meetings that are well organized, like this one, are very attractive. So it's a question that I still have. I love the tradition about attraction rather than promotion. It's so true. When I hear someone promoting something, I get suspicious. But when I can see the light in their eyes, when I can see the serenity that they have, when I can feel their peace, then I am attracted and I want what they have. And yes, ego deflation. I don't need to tout my
time.
Okay. And with that, I
Thank you very much, Jody E. Next up for 3 minutes before we open it up again for additional comments will be Sherry KB in California. 3 minutes, we'll open again. Hi, Sherry.
Good morning, Melanie. Good morning, everyone. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive reader. Thanks so much for your service, Melanie, and Team Thursday and everybody on the line, and welcome newcomers. I've heard some great things on the line this morning, and I just want to add to some things that I think about when I think of the traditions. I mean, I've been in different communities throughout my life with different groups. I remember hearing the speaker one time who is not a 12-stepper who talked about why the 12 steps worked, because there was only one ultimate authority and that there wasn't all these gurus and we weren't around worshiping people and, you know, turning them into gods, because there is only one ultimate authority. Our higher power is the language of our own heart as we understand it. And so many places have failed due to guru puja, which means worshiping the guru. And, you know, the only thing I worship is my higher power. And I don't worship anybody in this program. I don't put anyone on a pedestal, because if I do, the only place they have to go is down. And I love and appreciate all the people on this line and the people who have wonderful recovery. And I appreciate them, but I don't worship them. And that's how it needs to be for me, for somebody like me, and to respect the traditions. And also that, I love this group of people on A Vision for You. And what I respect the most is the way I've watched this for almost 10 years. It will be 10 years in July that A Vision for You has been here. And they have followed their traditions. And that's why, to me, anyone that follows the traditions in personal life and business is successful, because these were actually started in 1946. This is April of 1946. They were called the 12 points. And then they changed them to call it the traditions in 1955. And, you know, the principles of the traditions are unity, trust, open-mindedness, responsibility, acceptance, equality, and fellowship. And, you know, these are used, as they say, you know, the steps were for us, and the traditions are for relationships, and the concepts are for being in the world. And, I mean, isn't that amazing that this 12-step program, you know, started back in the day, and how it's blossomed and mushroomed and all of that, and that we get to come here, all of us together, united, coming under different beliefs and religions, and be able to be united in a fellowship. I think that is amazing, and I thank God for God in my past. Thanks, Melanie.
Thank you very much, Sherry KB from California. We're going to be commenting this morning again on page XIX, forward to the second edition. First paragraph is what we're unpacking this morning. If you'd like to share, press star 1 on your phone keypad. Give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and your state if you'd like, if you haven't shared in the last 3 days.
Bruce E., Florida.
Bruce E.
Darcy M. from Nebraska.
Darcy M.
No. Jordan L.
No? Okay. Mm-hmm, gotcha. Mm-hmm. We have a couple more this morning. Okay, let's go with Bruce E. first, Darcy next, and then Jordan L. Good morning, Bruce.
Okay, Bruce E. Thank you, everybody that's serving on the line. I'm recovered in Southwest Florida. And, let's see. I was a member of a group when I first got into OA years ago, and we never read the traditions, and we had crosstalk in our meetings. We, you know, just did all kinds of stuff, probably broke anonymity and everything else. Probably broke a lot of the traditions because we didn't read them, didn't talk about them, and I didn't even know what they were back then. So that group never really, it was kind of always a fledgling group. It never did really get off, you know, really get real solid. And after about 10 years, 10 or 11 years or so, it disbanded. And I think it good part of it was because we didn't abide by the traditions. So then, you know, I get into groups and they start reading these traditions. And I've always had a difficult time with them. And maybe some of them not so much as others. Because I'm not a rule follower. I'm sort of a rebel. I'm sort of a kind of thinking of myself as sort of a bulletproof guy and I can do anything myself. Maybe that's why I got to be an addict. I don't know, thinking that way. And not so much a group person, you know, more of a, you know, just sort of a do it on my own type guy. And then I started looking at these traditions and finding out that, wait a minute here, there's a bunch of rules here that we need to be following. I need to be following. And I can see the wisdom in a lot of them or most of them. But they've been hard for me because I don't like to follow. My wife is always correcting me. You know, she's always telling me, you know, you don't want to follow the rules. You know, we go to a grocery store or something where it says exit only, and I want to go in there, you know, and she'll grab my hand or something or grab me and take me in the one where it says entrance, you know. And but these really do make sense. And the one where it says serve, our leaders might serve but never govern. And that's one where, you know, I've gotten out of shape on that one. And where I've really had a rough time with sponsoring people, I think I'm doing a much better job of sponsoring now than I did a number of years ago. But I want to govern. You know, I want to tell somebody how to do it. I want to tell somebody, you know, I did it this way. So if you do it this way, you'll get recovered because I did. You will too. Thank you. And no, I'm a lot better at that. I'm taking it easy and letting go and letting God more than I ever did before. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. from Florida. Darcy M. from Nebraska. You're up next. For 3 minutes. Star one, Darcy, please.
Sorry about that. Darcy M. from Nebraska, compulsive overeater. I guess this is the first time that I've actually seen where, or read where it said the 12 traditions in like the formal form, and I guess I've never really read them as being that way, and it's like the beginnings of them, the way they were written, and I guess that was a first for me. But I've also got some other questions that don't relate to the reading, but I hope someone could answer for me, and I don't mean to break the, but I have been trying to find people in the member list, and I'm hoping someone can help me. How do you use that member list if you don't know the spelling of their names or their phone numbers? Is there someone that can tell me that, or tell me how I can get hold of someone that can tell me how to do that?
Darcy, I'll call you and let you know, okay?
Okay, that's fine. That would be great. Thank you very much. And with that, I will
You're
pass.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, Darcy. Darcy from Nebraska, we'll help you. Okay, Jordan L., you're up next for 3 minutes.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for... Can I be heard?
You can. I was just talking over you a minute.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Thanks for moderating, Mel. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning. good old traditions. So it took me a long. I've read the Big Book a lot, and it took me a really long time to kind of understand this, because I think there's a part of me that really likes the rules because they're black and white, right? And then there's a part of me that's like, F the rules, I'm going to do whatever I want. and that's okay. Like, it's okay for those two parts of me to exist, right? In the same way that it's okay for, like, those two parts to exist in this fellowship as a whole, too. But what I have noticed, right, is that the steps were not written down as a set of rules or directions for people to follow. The steps were written as a result of experience. So they didn't come before the experience in order to dictate experience to people or the experience they should be having to people. The steps were written after people had had the experience and lived it. And they wrote it down as a guide for others to maybe, I don't know, and make their experience a little bit easier, right? to be helpful. That's why they were written. Same with the traditions. So this is the first time that they were written down. It says here, we've evolved these principles out of experience. They weren't written down as a set of rules for people to follow. They were written down as we've been living this, we've been experiencing this. This is what we have discovered, and these are meant to be helpful. These are meant to help our fellow, not meetings. This is not about meetings surviving. The traditions are about the fellowship surviving. Overeaters Anonymous as a whole, so that it can continue to be here for newcomers, so that when someone walks in the door and they're like, fucking A, I can't figure out how to stop compulsively overeating, we're here and we have experience to share with them. They're not alone. So thank you for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan L. Looks like time will allow for at least one more person to comment on paragraph 1, page XIX of the Big Book, if you'd like to take that 3-minute time. Perhaps even 2.
My name is Steve G. I'm a compulsive overeater in recovery. I'm new to this meeting. It's been a great meeting, and thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Steve. Did you want to share for 3 minutes or just introduce
yourself? I just said no one really works a perfect program. I wish they did, but sometimes things happen, but it's very helpful, and the traditions are really important, and the groups that I've been to pretty much have followed the traditions and created a safe space, so that's really good, and I know about the traditions, but practicing, it's up to each and every member to practice the traditions, also the groups, of course, and the group leaders. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing, Steve. Would you give me your state as well? Do you mind?
Not today. No, thank you.
Okay, no worries. No worries. Okay, thanks for your share this morning, Steve G. Anybody else? I do have time for at least one and a half more shares. Let's see if we can squeeze some more out of this today. Paragraph 1, page XIX. We're talking about traditions this morning. What keeps our meeting going? Shoulder to shoulder.
Margaret.
Hey, Margaret. We'll take you for sure from Georgia. Go ahead with 3, and we'll see how we go from there.
Go ahead. Oh,
yes. Uh-huh.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, and thank you so much, everybody, for all of your service and just for caring about everybody. I can't talk. My name is Margaret D., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Georgia. the tradition that I has stuck out for me for so long, and I guess it's because I have been attempting to become recovered for many years. I mean, many years. I've been in program since 1987, and it's only been in like the last maybe 4 years that I've enjoyed continuous back-to-back abstinence, sobriety, and neutrality around food. And so the tradition that is so warm and dear to me is the fifth tradition about our primary purpose. And I think when I first started in program, I felt that it only applied to newcomers. But upon further, you know, going back and looking at it, it really says that our primary purpose is to help the still suffering compulsive eater. Well, if we didn't have that tradition, I would have dropped out many, many, many years ago. But during the years, people never said, you know, Margaret, I'm sorry, you were supposed to have been recovered in X amount of days or weeks or whatever. You're doing something wrong. You know, we have to help the newcomer. You're just going to have to figure this out on your own. Nobody ever said that to me. They said, if you're still suffering, here's what we did when we were in your shoes. And they said, don't give up and keep coming back. And they said, you know, can I pray for you? How can I help you? Whatever. And so that's always been, to me, a very loving tradition, that it's not the length of time that you have in program. It's only, are you still suffering? And if you are, then, you know, our tradition is that's who we reach out our hands to. And that's who we try and be there for. So with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Margaret D. That leaves about 1 minute. Does anybody have the ability to squeeze out one more minute worth of
Phil
good
M?
Stuff out of this paragraph? Hi, Phil. You got it. Phil M. from Ireland.
Thank you very much. That's right, Melanie. Thank you for your service. I'm Phil M., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Northern Ireland. And, definitely, I'm really, really grateful that nobody gets chucked out of OA, because there are several numerous, many, many times when somebody would have said, sorry, Phil, see ya. You gotta go. You know, because I got things wrong, left, right, and center. And I still carry on getting things wrong. But in a way, it's all right. And I was welcomed back again and again and again. Relapsing for 5.5 years. People had to listen to me. Oh, I picked up again. I'm glad that's not happening for me today. And it was worth carrying on. And I'm just so glad I can get chucked out. And thanks for listening. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Phil. Glad that you got in here. Yep, you squeezed another bit out of here that was very, very powerful in terms of traditions. We're going to begin the process of wrapping up the recorded portion of our meeting. I'm glad that you're all here today. So if you stay with us to the top of the hour, we still have good stuff yet to come. So don't take off. I'd like to invite now Shelley E. to please read page 164, the way we always close our meetings. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. And if you would care to, then join me in the Serenity Prayer afterwards. And then we'll continue on. Hi, Shelley.
Hi, Melanie. This is Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.